Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Some of you may not know us. We are the Bullocks, Mark, Gretchen, Jacob, Matthew, and Caleb. I was a dentist here back in 2010. I worked over here at the Community Health Center. I know some of you. I recognize a few. You came and saw me. While we were here, we really fell in love with Breckenridge, the community. We fell in love with Bethany Baptist, your associate pastor and his family. And so that's why we're back here today, is because we really felt connected. In fact, I want you to know that you have a great community here. I pray that someday, if the Lord gets done with me here on earth, and he's not ready to call me home yet, I pray that I'll get to come back here for at least a little while, for a little respite. But we're going to start with a little video. This is kind of just what we've done. You know, when God takes a hold of your life, this is what might happen. So please roll it. So first thing I want to do is kind of put out a plug for encourage you to come this evening to the evening services at 6:30, Don? Six, at 6 o'clock. We're just going to touch on a part. We're in Guinea-Conakry for 10 months, so I'm just going to be able to touch on a small part of what we did here today, as well as where we're going. So we'll talk a whole lot more this evening. We'll also take questions if you have any questions about our ministry. So I do want to encourage you to come tonight. Eric got that out of the way. Next thing you're gonna find out about me real quick is that I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist or any of those things. I'm a dentist. You know, and for those of you who have come to see me, you probably pray a lot before you come to see me. So I don't know where I'm going with that, but so where we are now is we are serving with an organization called Mercy Ships. It is basically a ship. It's a hospital ship that sails around West Africa. Our model is to spend about 10 months in a country where we basically do surgeries on people. I'm a dentist, so I work on very similar to what I did here in community health, mostly taking out teeth, dealing with pain. That's my day job. The ship itself does much larger surgeries. You come tonight, I'll tell you about large tumors, stuff you never see here. But the basic matter is we go to places where there is no hospitals. Really, there's the kind of service we do on the ship is something that you can't get in the country that you live in. Sometimes it's not even available in the continent of Africa. So we do a lot of surgery for people that would have no hope of survival if it weren't for us. We don't do everything. We are not a hospital, meaning we take care of every single thing. We're more like a specialty surgical unit. We are very specific in what we do. But more importantly than that is for the ministry, the service part, what we do, which you'll go to the website and see about, it's really just a jumping off place for a ministry. And I'm going to go back to the reading, the Bible reading today, just real quick, because I was thankful that Don put that in there, because Jesus here in Luke says, this is what is written, Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance, forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So I just want to encourage you by telling you that Jesus was in Conakry, Guinea when we arrived. He was there for the entire 10 months that we worked, and he is there today after we've left. Okay? So moving on, I want to talk a little about the parable of mustard seed. This is a parable that shows up in three of the Gospels. I'm going to spend most of my time in Mark because it has a special affinity to me. So the parable of mustard seed, and it's a real short one, so bear with me. I'm in Mark 4:30. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can preach in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. So, Mercy Ships is very much a mustard seed type of ministry. Because we're in the country only 10 months, I'm sorry, that's about all we can do. We can just put out these very small bits of faith, and then we sail away and just in faith expect God to grow it. And in a lot of ways, that's how any ministry works. I mean, a parable just before this, Jesus talks about sowing. You put a seed in the ground, you don't know why it grows. You can't make it grow. All you can do is put it in the ground, and you can till the soil. You can do everything you want to do, but you can't make that seed grow. There's only one person that makes that seed grow. So that's very much our ministry. I'm going to let my wife come up here and talk about a little ministry she does, working with orphans. And so what I want you to hear here is the mustard seed. You're not going to see any big changes. Yeah, she's smiling at me like, get off their stage. So.
Now it's on. Yes, now you can hear me. On the ship, because I'm a mom, most of my time is spent with my kids and on the ship, but I really just felt that God wanted our family to do something together, wanted me to do something in getting to further his kingdom. And so what I got involved with was a ministry to an orphanage. It's called Lazar's Orphanage. And in Guinea, the government does not run orphanages. They don't have any homes for children. Children are either taken in by families. Oftentimes, if that happens, they'll work as servants in the home and not always be treated as children should, or they're on the streets. Or there are people, mostly Christian people, who have started small orphanages. And so there was two that Mercy Ships worked with, and I chose to focus on one so I could really build a connection with people. And Lazar's Orphanage is run by Mr. and Mrs. Lazar, and they have 27 children who live in a very large home. They range in age from newborn, a four-month-old came while we were there, and up to 13. The oldest child is 13. His name is Isaga. And most of them, at least half, are HIV positive, which in Guinea that means that they won't, the government of Guinea won't allow children who are HIV positive to be adopted. So this will be their home for their life. And so we went to this orphanage, and the program was that we would show up and we'd play with children and cuddle children. Then we would worship together and sing songs in French, praising God. And then we would do a storytelling method where they would recite the scripture and ask questions. And then one of the kids would get up and recite the scripture. And it was just a wonderful time of learning and worshiping together. But the story I want to tell you, because it most touched my life, is of a little girl named Dorcas, and you saw her picture on our little video. When we first arrived, Dorcas couldn't sit up. She couldn't move at all. And if you looked in her eyes, there wasn't any life in them. There wasn't any light. They were just, the best I can describe it is just being glassy, just not really there. And so, of course, as people were drawn to her, because she needed so much love. And so it began with just holding her and during the worship time. And the other family that we served with, the Schwins, we really just started praying together. And for me, this was the biggest growing part for me, because I have a pretty active prayer life, but I don't tend to ask God for things that I believe to be impossible or very difficult or maybe unattainable. I don't usually ask for those things. It's hard for me to ask for those things because I'm scared that they're not going to be answered yes. And so we stepped out and we prayed. We prayed that this little girl would walk by the end of the field service, which 10 months. I didn't really know that would happen. And so we prayed that. And slowly as we go, she started just being more alive. And then you watch this 4-year-old little girl learn to crawl. And then she was able to get into the rehab program at the tent. And so there was people visiting her twice a week at the orphanage for a couple hours, and she was going to the rehab tent once a week. And I was there the first day that she stood. And she stood, and her eyes were just so bright and alive. And she would push up, and she'd stand, and then she'd fall back on the stairs. And that whole day was just spent, like, getting her to stand. And watching this 4-year-old do that was just amazing. And then through God's providence and blessings, a team came to the ship, and they were able to bring her a walker, her very own walker. And because she was using one from the ship, but it wouldn't be something that we could leave behind with her. And so they brought her a walker, and she got her own walker, and she started learning to use it. And then she started talking. And when we would sing praises to God, Alleluia is how they'd say it, and she'd vocalize that when we were singing. And when the little kids would get up to pray, she would want to stand up there with them and talk. And she was starting to be the first in line to get her cup of milk when it was snack time. And she was moving that walker around. And then in the last weeks that we went, some boys were playing a game of soccer. And she got up on her walker, and she ran out there with her walker. And she captured the ball, helping to use her walker. And she'd get her foot behind it, and she'd kick that ball. And to be able to see that, and to see how God had just, I mean, it was a miracle. 10 months, and she went from just laying there to moving and taking care of her needs and making sure her needs were met. And the other thing that I watched God do is that the Mr. and Mrs. Lazar, who own the orphanage, have a great love for children, but there are 27 children there. That's a lot of children. And so they have women who come into work. And the culture in Guinea and in a lot of African countries is that if you have some sort of defect, that you just are left alone, that they don't really do anything to help you become stronger or to be the best you can be. But to watch the women who work there see that loving on this girl, and that this girl deserved their love and deserved their care, you saw a change in those women. And the other children there who had special needs, you saw a change in how they interacted with those children. And just seeing that seed of realizing that we have to love everyone and care for everyone was just an amazing blessing for my life. And for me to see that we can trust God and ask for the impossible, and he does answer yes. And so that was just really meaningful for me.
So I think that's basically what we do. What I've learned over the last 10 months is how my service as a dentist can really be a jumping off point for the gospel. Some of you out there may know what I'm talking about. You may understand that you're not the person who can just, you know, whip out your Bible, or I'm not real good at memorizing scripture. But I will tell you, God's really been working on me, because I can't tell you the number of times I was asked, what are you doing here? Why are you doing this? And that's a really great place, because what I'm getting better at is saying, oh, well, I'm glad you asked that question. It really makes the best way for me to just speak into, well, I'm here because Jesus Christ died for your sins. And so I guess I really want to encourage you that, you know, if you're having a hard time sharing the gospel, this is, try just starting to be of service to people. And you may, and I think you'll find that question will come eventually. It really did in Guinea. I'm running about short on the end of my notes. We do have one last video here to show you. I kind of want to help you visualize. We're kind of a visual culture now. Jimmy, where am I at on time? I'm sorry. That's short, I know. Okay, I'm good. All right. I know we're a little short today. But if we have our next movie, it'd be great. This is just kind of a short.
Marcia Tribe, I am from Texas. I am the perioperative eye team coordinator. Basically, I coordinate the patients that are going to have eye surgery. Yesterday, we had a man come in that was 24 years old, and he is deaf, mute, and blind. And his brothers, I think it was so beautiful to watch how his brothers cared for him. But I think the greatest part was is they had developed their own sign language. So it wasn't like the typical sign language like you would see. And the way they spoke with him, that in itself was beautiful when you saw the care. But he was pretty frightened. So we worked it out that his brother was always with him and touching him. And he went to every spot except for the OR table. I was so hopeful. Everything just looked right. It just felt like it was going to be right. But when someone's been blind that long, you kind of don't know. So today I went to post-op to see how he did. And when they took the patch off, he was just looking down and he was kind of quiet, which is common until they begin to focus. And he began to open his eye a little bit more. And his brother was just kind of holding his breath and he was right beside him. And he just turned and he looked at his brother, and his brother, you could tell he was like, can he see me? Can he see me? And all of a sudden he just smiled, and his brother just threw his hands in his face and he wept. He wept. We all started crying. But it was he got a lot of lines of vision. It wasn't just, I can barely see. And like I said, we spent a good bit of time just crying and thanking God for what we see. But when he was leaving, he pulled out, and Guinea, they keep an ID card on them. And he pulled out his ID card and he was showing me his card. And I said, I know your name. And he kept going, And so he told his brother. And what he said was yesterday this card was true. But today I am no longer a blind man. So he was like ready to go get his card changed, So his whole identity had changed, But it's, and with the eyes, it's so quick, to know one day you see him so frightened. And yeah, so it's that, You see sad stuff too, but that drastic change in their lives. In a few weeks from now, I know he's going to change right before all of our eyes. That's the thing I've noticed. They see, but then they began to get stronger, and just a lot of things began to happen.
So I'll just finish up again by encouraging anybody who would like to come out. Some of you may not know this, but we actually came to Bethany before we left for Guinea to ask for y'all's support, and I know that many of you have been supporting us with prayer and your thoughts, and we've received emails from some of you folks, and so I really hope that you'll come out tonight and see what you have done through us, because we've really felt this was one of our churches that was behind us. And we hope to tell you what we're going to do next, which is go on to the Republic of Congo, another country in Africa. So we hope to see you there tonight. Thank you.